Welcome again, listeners, to the TP Talks, our podcast on the telecoms industry. And this time we have a first. It will be the first one done in English because our guest doesn't speak Dutch that well, I think. We didn't check it, but I presume his Dutch is not that well. And with us today is Udbaf Tiwari. He's Vice President Strategy and Global Affairs at Signal. We are very pleased to have you here. Udbaf, and first of all, I would like to ask you, who is Udbaf?
Thank you. Well, I've quite recently joined Signal as their VP for Strategy and Global Affairs. And what that role essentially means is helping figure out how Signal shows up and engages with the world outside, specifically public policy. So whether it's civil society, industry peers and partners, and in some cases governments, as well as observing what are the developments that are happening in the world outside in those realms and feeding them back into product teams internally so that they can account for what are the parts of that ecosystem that they should pay attention to and that would impact Signal as a service or our mission.
Okay.
I've been...
Go ahead. Please continue.
I was just saying that like I've broadly been in this space for about a decade, and what brought me to Signal was, of course, its mission, but I've done similar roles in my previous organizations as well. And most recently, I was actually at Mozilla, the developer of the nonprofit Firefox browser.
Okay. Yeah. So your VP strategy, that's not related to product development then?
Yes, because the strategy team at Signal is a team that does input into product development in that we are a team that engages with the outside world. So as an example, if I'm at a conference and someone gives me feedback saying, hey, here's a particular feature, here's the way I would like to use it, it's very much something that the strategy team does, take that in feedback and incorporate it back into product so that the product teams can account for it. But a lot of our job is also representing Signal externally.
Okay. But if I relate to Signal, and probably we will come to that subject later, it's you, of course, have a kind of rollout plan of features and functionality for the coming months, years to come. That's not your responsibility. That's somebody else.
It's a collective responsibility. The organization takes those decisions collectively. Both, of course, there is leadership on the product and the engineering side, but also people from the strategy team and other leaders in the organization. So I am one of the sources that informs that decision.
Okay. How many people work with Signal, by the way?
In total, there are approximately between, I think, at last count, between 50 to 55 people who work at Signal. So it's a pretty small organization.
Yeah. And you don't have an HQ. It's you're working all over the world.
Exactly. It's entirely remote.
Yeah. Because I understood you currently reside in Germany, where you work from. Okay. But the number of employees, 50 to 55, resembles the number of people that were employed by WhatsApp when they were bought by Meta, Facebook. So that's interesting, but probably we'll dive in that to later. Let's start with Signal first. When did it start and where do you stand today? And what do you think is going to happen with Signal in the coming year?
Sure. So Signal is a project broadly started, I would say, almost 13 to 15 years ago. And the genesis of Signal lies in two applications, TextSecure and RedPhone, both of which were created by two individuals, Moxie Marlinspike and Trevor, both of whom are authors of the Signal protocol, which I will get to in a little bit. But it was Moxie Marlinspike who helped create TextSecure and RedPhone as ways to send text messages, as well as do phone calls in a manner that are as end-to-end encrypted as possible. And after that happened, the project, the two projects merged and they later became Signal. And the thing that really sets Signal apart in the marketplace of encrypted messaging and private communications is the fact that we deploy the gold standard of end-to-end encrypted messaging known as the Signal protocol. Now, this Signal protocol is the basis of end-to-end encrypted communications, not just on Signal, but also on other applications around the world as well. So WhatsApp, for example, actually uses the Signal protocol in order to end-to-end encrypt its content data. That doesn't mean that both services offer the same levels of privacy, and I'm going to get into that a little later. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, one of the biggest contributions that Signal has made to the world of technology is actually the creation of the Signal protocol. And because merely creating the protocol was not enough, and because we wanted to make sure that there could be a certain sense of default privacy, not privacy that you have to go into settings, that you have to seek, but a privacy that is available to everyone generally, and that they can exercise with the people that they want as easily and as simply as possible, is Signal's goal, to provide the world's most secure and widely used encrypted messenger. And that's the goal that I think Signal has been working towards for the past 5 to 7 years in earnest, which is also the broader period in which the Signal organization I mentioned earlier transitioned into the Signal Foundation, which was set up as a dedicated nonprofit. And that also means the incentive structures that we have aren't motivated by shareholder demands or the fiduciary duties to, you know, ensure the financial growth and profit, but our mission is what governs our day-to-day actions. And Signal has done a fair bit in the last couple of years in order to advance that, which I'm sure we can get into later. But I would say, looking into the future, it's becoming pretty clear, as can be seen from how Signal's usage is increasing, that we see our role becoming only more important in the world as time goes by. Privacy is a fundamental human right that more and more people are deciding to exercise and have the need to exercise in various places around the world. And we are really looking forward to fulfilling that mission.
Yeah, you said you're a non-profit, so you are related to donations done by people or organizations. Is there any visibility about who is donating or which company or person, or is that all, well, how do you go about that one? People can ask questions about who donates to Signal, for example.
Absolutely. So there is a wide variety of documentation that's necessary as a nonprofit. That is that Signal files and is very easily available online. Usually they become public after the Internal Revenue Service in the United States has sort of processed them, which is why there's a little bit of a delay. But it's a very simple search that will end up leading you to that documentation that includes a wide variety of information. I haven't gone into the details of the documentation myself specifically. They sometimes can be, you know, hundreds of pages. Mm-hmm. But that is our biggest form of transparency, which is that our finances are audited and made available, and the operations of the company, including things like who's being paid what and things like that, are a part of that documentation. And we encourage people to be able to visit them.
Yeah, if I use Signal quite often, to be honest, and if I look to my friends and colleagues, I sometimes see a small rocket on the icon.
Yeah.
Is there any? Can you share with us for how many people donate to Signal and support you?
So as of right now, we actually go to a fairly wide extent to not collect specific metadata about donations. So that's because Signal, and we actually have blogged about this so one can look it up well, but that you see on the profiles, we actually use a variant of zero knowledge proofs to display those badges without tying those badges to the payments themselves. So we know who is donating, but we don't know who they specifically are and can just display that badge information. And it uses some pretty clever cryptography to be able to figure that out in the form of a zero knowledge proof. Yeah. So which is why the exact numbers is not something that I'd be able to share, but it is a number that we only hope grows and increases, because it is fundamental to how Signal can be supported as an organization.
Yeah. And your financial guy, is he worried about the funding of Signal, or is he very pleased?
I would say right now, we're definitely in a place where more and more people are using Signal. It's a little too early to say how that is necessarily translated into the amount of donations that are coming in. Mm-hmm. But very naturally, if more people are using the application, the odds that even that small percent that does donate increasing is also there. So we are quite pleased with the overall growth that we are seeing in many countries across the world this year.
Yeah. To zoom in on growth, I think you have about 34 million users at the moment, or?
So we don't actually talk about our overall usage numbers. No. There are different numbers that are available in different applications and third parties that track that information. But one of the things, just to provide some more context around that, that also sets Signal apart as an organization is we actually collect very little metadata about individuals. A lot of the things around how an application is being used, you would expect a software company to collect. And because we want a position where the metadata is, you know, asked of us and then used to correlate some other action that a user may have carried out and therefore might have impacted their privacy. And because of that, the amount of metadata we collect is quite little, and that has second order effects as well.
Yeah, so the less you know, the better you stand for your goal and purpose, of course. That's interesting, of course. I know the Netherlands is doing quite well. Which areas in the world you see an interesting uptake in Signal?
Yeah, there's definitely been Belgium as well, where we were the number one free app on both of the app stores, I think, for at least a week, and then on one other app store for a longer period of time. And even the other cases, we've been in the top 3 to 5 quite consistently this year. We've also seen some interesting growth in Italy. We've also seen some interesting growth generally come out, I think, of Europe, because it's clear that as a continent, Europe is beginning to grapple with this idea of and I think that we'll probably chat about this somewhere in this chat anyway, of the idea of sovereignty in a particular way. And as a part of that, the belief that you can have with Signal is that the sovereignty exists from the fact that the service provider just can't see that information because we mathematically cannot. And that's why a lot of that growth has been in Europe, but we've seen similar spikes in the United States of America, in a bunch of other countries around the world, given the fact that there is definitely an element of when a few people join the application, there is a tipping point in different groups, whether it's groups of colleagues, groups of peers, groups of friends, where after that tipping point, it starts making sense to start having conversations on Signal, to start using it as a daily driver. And we think more and more of that is happening as people tend to use Signal in both professional and personal settings.
Yeah. Of course, you cannot zoom in on details, but do you in general see the... So you have the number of installments, the people that have installed it, and of course the usage in traffic you see, not knowing what is sent, of course, but I presume you then can see a surge in traffic per user.
We can't.
You can't.
We specifically go to very large extents to not have any profile information on our servers that is not end-to-end encrypted, you know? So for example, what a profile name is, what groups is it a part of, what kind of actions it's carrying out, all of that is information we simply do not collect as metadata and therefore don't have that granular insight.
Okay. I thought you could see say something about the number of bits or bytes used per user to see. If I look to my personally, I of course also use WhatsApp and other Signal apps.
Of course, yeah.
But the percentage I use on Signal is already increased to almost 70% to 80% of all my messaging done. So,
wow.
with various groups, of course. So I'm not there yet. But I was hoping you could share with me something about, well, we can see that people are using it far more and more. But that's then something you don't
collect. Yeah, collect, but that's music to our ears. And that's exactly in the Netherlands and in Belgium and in Italy and in a lot of these jurisdictions, what we're really seeing is, I think, exactly what you've described, that enough of it is starting to happen on those platforms that people can start using it as their daily driver. And while we don't have more insight because, you know, we don't collect metadata for privacy, it is something that I think in our, just the overall sense that you get, this is of course entirely anecdotal, it's not like data collection driven at all, but just the sheer familiarity that people have with Signal when I am in the rooms and in the conferences and in the events that I am at has honestly, between in the last 6 months, the way those conversations I think would have gone in October, November, and are going now in terms of, you know, how aware people are and how much they use it are quite different.
Yeah, we're surprised by the charm campaign of WhatsApp in the Netherlands. Are you aware of it?
Yes, aware of it. Not surprised by it, no. We also, Meredith Whitaker, our president, also put out, I think on social media, a couple of statements engaging with some parts of that as well. And the only difference is the reason that you can trust the claims that we make is the fact that, like, it's all open source. Both the code on the clients, which are your phones and your desktops and your laptops, as well as on the server side, that both the code is actually available as open source code. So when Signal makes a claim, right, like that we are not collecting X information, that's a claim that you can verify on the basis of that code. That is actually publicly available. And WhatsApp is not an open source provider. And therefore, what's ended up happening there is that there has been contestation on who collects what kind of information, whether it's actually possible or not. And I think we have always been very comfortable with the idea that we do not collect metadata and that is verifiable truth. So we think that despite that charm offensive, people have been able to engage with the individuals in their vicinity that have validated the privacy properties of Signal and why it's better than many of its competitors.
Yeah, in the discussion I have with some of my relatives or friends is that we want to switch from WhatsApp to something else, but we are going to look for something European, and Signal is American. What would be your answer?
I mean, I would definitely say that all software companies do have to ultimately be like legally jurisdiction somewhere, but the value of Signal as a product, I think, as it's and its open source nature fundamentally separates it from both not only many other American companies, but the fact that it's the design of the product that almost makes the fact of whether it's American or not
irrelevant. Yeah.
Because it's I would absolutely agree that if I because I just as an example, I've now been living in Europe for over 3.5 years, and in that 3.5 year period, if I were to pick a service that I knew was complying with a law like the GDPR and was not, I would definitely pick one that would do. But it's the fact that we don't even collect the data in any place that I think sets us apart. And I honestly don't blame any of your relatives or friends who may have brought that argument up, because it's not necessarily a very well-known part of Signal, right? It has a reputation for being private, but I think most people are pleasantly surprised when they find out how little data Signal does actually collect about them.
Yeah, I will pass it on to my colleagues then. Looking forward for coming years, any interesting stuff being developed by Signal on features?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that if you generally go onto our website, as well as the Signal forum, you'll see that the biggest feature that we launched last year was definitely usernames, which was giving people an ability to, you know, use pseudo identifiers to be able to communicate with each other, which means that you can add contacts and communicate with them without them necessarily exposing their phone numbers to each other, which we think is pretty great for privacy and is an optional feature. So you can choose to use Signal just exactly the way that you did in the past, or you could choose to use it in this way that protects the phone numbers of people from each other in case they want to protect them for privacy reasons. I think in the future, something that is already on our website in the beta is actually a pretty interesting feature called Link and Sync, which is the ability for you to be able to synchronize messages from the from one device to another, right? Like, so imagine I am setting up a desktop and I want to make sure that all my history that's on my phone is on my desktop as well. It's essentially a way of doing a online synchronization between the two devices. And then it turning up on the main device in which you're performing the sync. That's actually going to be pretty interesting for, I think, power users and people who also might end up using this feature as a variant of a backup. Where you can imagine that if I'm on my computer and I decide to like synchronize, I'm setting up a phone, a new phone, and I lost my old phone. What I want to do is send my desktop messages back to my phone because I'm setting that new device. That's also a functionality that's actually being tested in Signal Beta right now that you can actually sign up for in case you're a power user and you would like to provide us feedback, which we're actually really excited about because it both opens up the potential for interesting features in the coming years, but also actually increases convenience. And we absolutely recognize that making the messenger not just the most private, but also just as easy to use, just as convenient to use, is very, very important in attracting and retaining users.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned power users. How do you become a power user?
Most people who I would say are power users for Signal are people who tend to use it in an organizational setting as well, not just for communications. So if you get to, it's not like a specific setting on the app or anything like that. It's just people who are more invested in Signal's growth and development and therefore use earlier versions of the software. There's a beta that is there on the Signal website and Signal forums that you can link to that you can sign up for. And usually you get to see some interesting cutting edge features that are being developed there in case you want to access them.
But it's not open for anyone.
It is open for anyone.
Okay.
I mean, you do have to change some settings on some devices. Like, for example, on iOS, you need to sign up for something called the Test Flight Program, which is the beta app program. Similarly, on Play Store, that you also have the ability to sign up for betas. So those are the ways that you can actually sign up for it. I will say, though, it is cutting-edge software. And because of that, it is definitely buggier than the production builds of Signal that are available on the app stores for everyone to use. So it definitely requires a certain amount of comfort with reporting bugs, features deliberately not working because they are not ready for prime time but are being tested and scaled up. Just to give you an example, I use the beta version of Signal every day and it's fine, but there are also times when it doesn't work exactly as expected and I know how to recover from that. So I would only recommend users who are comfortable in their ability to do that if they use Signal as a daily driver.
Okay, so I will pause then here. Looking at Signal, you now have X million customers or users. What is actually your strategy now? Is do you have a goal to let it grow to 100 million or are you fine with 50 million? What's your take on that?
We would definitely like as many people around the world to use Signal as possible because we do believe that the impact of having your social networks and your social connections on the application protected by this gold standard of privacy is one of the easiest ways to make sure that it becomes an enduring right. End-to-end encryption and how ubiquitous it has become for communication in the last 10 years was not a random idea. You know, it took a lot of deliberate planning and effort to make it as widely known and as widely available as it has become in the last decade. And Signal played a very big part of that. So we think that we definitely want to make sure end-to-end encryption is as widely used as possible, which is why, you know, the code is open source, the underlying protocol is licensed by other providers in order to be able to prove it, provide encryption as well. But we also want to make sure that we focus on our mission and that we focus on doing as well as we can by our users when it comes to privacy and security and usability. Because of that, I think that many people may say that, you know, hey, Signal is such a great brand. Should it expand into other services that also provide privacy? That's a conversation that I think we can definitely like have in terms of getting into the details. But the overall point is we want to make sure that we do messaging as well as possible. So that focus on excellence is what has led, I think, Signal to thrive and grow in the manner that it has over the last decade, despite being the size of the fraction of most of its competitors, but yet having the reputation that it does.
Yeah, because Signal wants to grow, of course. Would be more happy if people start more using it, but you don't do any advertising other than the word of mouth. Is that correct?
Yes. We don't do any advertising or marketing apart from word of mouth. Honestly, I would say that that has served us in pretty good stead so far. The reason I think Signal is as trusted as it has right now is because the people who first started using it were human rights defenders, were people's, you know, like organization, journalists, lawyers, people who work in sensitive protected areas, psychiatrists, the medical profession. The fact that militaries, the fact that all of these organizations started adopting Signal is what led to its reputation of privacy and security having the credibility that it did. And then these people's families started using it, and then their friends started using it, and then it started becoming more and more popular. So there is a power to, I think, a reputation that is earned by a word of mouth that is very important to the Signal brand. And that's the basis of the growth that we've seen as well.
Yeah, so word of mouth is important. And when important people start using it and it comes out like a signal gate, was that good news for you or bad news?
I would say that we tended to view it much more as a case where we were in the news without us having done anything about it or not. But ultimately, it's definitely, and something that I think that we've actually even put some numbers around, we saw some pretty strong growth in the weeks right after, even in the United States. Like a fair number of people started using and downloading Signal, with some metrics even doubling over that period of time. I don't think that, like, you know, those metrics doubling suddenly means that we have suddenly become twice as popular in the United States. These things, as you can imagine, are obviously cyclical with the news cycle and how people's attentions go. But I would say that the privacy promises that Signal makes as an organization and as a product and as a service were definitely validated in that period. And that the attention to privacy and attention to end-to-end encryption as a service is a good thing. So ultimately, I think the numbers that we've put out showed positive growth in the United States, but we don't want to, like, particularly associate it with an event or two.
No. but you didn't do anything. I think one of the players, I think it was the president, said it might be a bug in Signal. Did you read that?
Yeah, we had seen all of those things. I think ultimately what we figured was because, and that's the benefit of Signal, right? Like, it's an open source product. And if there are faults and vulnerabilities, then those faults and vulnerabilities are also being looked at by many other people around the world simultaneously at the same time as well. Yeah. So we like, we have a very good responsible security disclosure program. It's called a bug bounty. It's not a bounty program. We don't have a bug bounty program, but we do take reports of bugs and vulnerabilities very seriously. So we paid attention to our security channel and are ready to receive any bugs that people might find in Signal that might compromise their security, and we address those as quickly as we can.
Yeah. Okay. So he could check it. Who could have checked it himself whether it was a bug or not, but he didn't, of course. Looking forward, what do you think are your biggest challenges or the challenge ahead with growing and more attention for privacy? What do you see as a challenge for Signal?
I would say twofold. One is definitely as Signal becomes more and more popular, I think it's also important that Signal is recognized as critical digital infrastructure. And that means two things, right? One, you should nurture, support, and grow critical digital infrastructure. And the second is you must also make sure that the reason the critical digital infrastructure exists doesn't end up being negated because of laws or regulations that want to restrict the right to encryption and privacy. So Signal has been engaging on both those fronts, right? On one side, which is making sure that as an organization, as a brand where the growth is taking place, there is also a simultaneous conversation about funding, donations, critical infrastructure, and how society should support such applications. So that's much more of a, you know, fundraising and development work stream. And the second is, what are the different ways in which governments actually are quite uneasy with how ubiquitous end-to-end encryption is today? And they are uneasy because it also means that intelligence agencies can't conduct mass surveillance, that it's much harder to hack into the conversations of people. And because of that, there are many laws and regulations in so many parts of the world that very much are putting the right to encryption under threat. Some particularly bad ideas like client-side scanning, which is when your device will scan for content before you send it, which sounds like something out of 1984. Things like the widespread growth of AI agents, because we are quite worried about the fact that there will be a day in which the government who wants to stop Signal from doing something won't have to tell Signal anything. It will just tell the operating system what to do. And if the operating system can start reporting which words you're typing into Signal to the government, that really requires Signal to be able to rebel against the intentions of the operating system maker, because it's not happened so far, but it could happen in the future. And the technical capabilities that are being created in these operating systems are definitely pointing in that direction. So I very much want to make sure that whatever we do, we keep both of the risks of weakening encryption and weakening privacy and not supporting nonprofit tech alternative infrastructures as a society, just being happy they exist and then not giving them the attention they deserve to be able to thrive and provide the role that they can are the two things we're really hoping to talk about and engage with the world on in the next couple of years.
Yeah, because if you grow in base, you become more and more interested indeed for, activities that are less legal, potentially, and law enforcement, of course, would like to read along, which you don't allow, of course. If a country says we would... you need to give us access, otherwise you can't, we don't support you or you can't be active, then you say, well, we leave the country?
Yes, we've many times publicly in the past said that if we are forced to leave a country, we will. I will say that in most of the countries in the world today where Signal is not available, Signal is not available because the government has chosen to ban it.
To ban it, okay.
You know, like if you look at North Korea, if you look at Iran, if you look at some parts of China, if you look at some reports that have recently started coming out of Russia, in all of these places, it's not that Signal as a service doesn't serve the users of those countries. It's that the governments in those places prevent those users from accessing Signal's services. So that reality is what I think the ultimate scenario in a situation like that would be, but we have been absolutely clear that we will not compromise on our promises to our users. Because if we do, then it will not just violate their trust in us and in the organization and its service as a whole, but also just set off a slippery slope where if encryption doesn't work for everyone, it works for no one. And that's the only way that encryption can work, which is why we will stick by that.
Yeah. Okay. Utbath, I just look at the clock in front of me and I saw we passed the 30 minutes already. So time flies when the subject is interesting, of course.
Yeah.
Do you have perhaps a last remark for all the listeners? Not only in the Netherlands, because this one will also be published broader than the Netherlands. Do you have a piece of advice or to give them?
Please use Signal and spread the word about Signal, largely because I think in the world that we live in today, the idea that something like Signal can exist is actually a special thing, you know? And it's a special thing because of the interest and belief that our user base and our community has had in the application and the promise on what it stands for. The only way to make something like Signal resilient, the only way to make sure that it can't be taken away when it becomes inconvenient, is to make sure that it is as widely used and available as possible, and that it becomes default. That when somebody says we're going to take your privacy away, people get angry because they realize how important their privacy is. And that will happen if as many people use encrypted private communications as possible, because you should not have to have a reason to hide from the government to be able to exercise your right to privacy. And while countries like the Netherlands and Belgium and the United States and others that we've spoken about are engaging with that idea, there are so many countries in the world. So both within the Netherlands, but also globally, please use Signal and spread the word about privacy and why encryption is important.
Okay, we will do so. Thank you for joining us and for the interesting talks. And to
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Perhaps we can do the talk again within a year and look what happened in the world and with Signal, of
Absolutely.
Course. Yeah. For now, to the listeners, thank you for listening and hope to see you. Well, not see you, but that you're going to listen next time again. Thank you. Bye.